Hey, got the morning show with Aaron, and in the studio I've got Deanna Wells. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is the first of our Raglan Arts Weekend interviews, and this is actually also your first time in the Raglan Arts Weekend, isn't it?
It is.
Did you wait to do this? Because you've been doing art for quite a few years.
I applied 2 years ago because that was the one that was postponed.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So how long have you actually been waiting to do this?
So 2 years.
2 years.
Yeah, which has been good.
Yeah, I know a few people kind of dropped off the radar
just
because of, you know, the realities of life and things like that. But had you – so – and it got to the point where it was almost happening, like the preview exhibition was happening, I think, a year ago or several times in the last 2 years. And usually the artist will produce a big body of work for the Arts Weekend, and then – but then you didn't – you couldn't move it on. So does that act like a blockage as an artist to have – that kind of thing happening?
Well, because I'm a young artist, I don't think it was for me. I'd done a whole lot of encaustic for the first exhibition, which is working with wax, melting wax and fusing wax together.
Because I'd seen that word on your website. I was going to ask what encaustic was.
So I got totally involved in that. And the two pieces I put in the preview actually both sold. But then when it was postponed, I don't know. I think it gave me more impetus to explore other things. Like, okay, now there's a big open space.
Okay.
And I can go and explore again.
So no expectations.
No.
Okay. So the, I guess we should talk about, it's always the hard question on the radio, but what does your art look like?
If people
were to look at a piece of your art, what does it look like?
Yeah.
In fact, what is the medium? Let's tell the medium first. That's the important part.
I've explored lots of mediums. I grew up through the learning connection where you explore lots of mediums and you're always exploring and trying different things and putting different things together.
So when you say you grew up, that's growing as an artist.
Just growing as an artist. I studied with the learning connection and that's where I learned encaustic. And then I've just, what does my painting look like? I tend towards abstract because I'm fascinated. My fascination had been, like, what does line and colour and shape do to us? What are those elements that are so important in a painting? And if you're doing realistic paintings, you can sort of be distracted by the realism and not understand the power of those elements. And abstract is really hard. It's a lot harder than realistic painting because it doesn't naturally work. So you're always messing up, and I got really used to messing up, creating chaos and then bringing back some structure and learning how the elements work together. So an absolutely fascinating process, very difficult.
Do you end up layering over the top of things?
Layers and layers and layers, and you learn what needs to be done to fix something so you don't worry so much about messing up. So I think my practice has always been to create chaos and mess and then bring it some structure back, pull it back together, and if it gets too tight, break it apart again, which is really the teaching of Louise Fletcher and Nick Wilton, where that process of engagement and listening to the painting and seeing what needs to happen to it. And I think that's what's blown me away with painting, is it's your relationship to the marks that you're making that count, and it all depends on your sensibility. So the mediums, I've done in caustic, I've worked a lot in acrylics, and I've really recently got into collage, so making jelly prints on tissue paper and turning them into paintings, and then I've got a little printing press that I use all sorts of different textures to make papers, and then I rip them up and turn them into
Mentioned jelly. What's the jelly doing in there?
I know that it's a very soft, it's like a jelly, but it has glycerine, so it's quite permanent. And it's sort of the fashion, and I'm running a course in it next week.
Right.
And you can very easily make beautifully textured using stencils and making lines and marks and layering. You can make absolutely beautiful papers that can turn into something you put on your wall or you use for collage. I think it's soft, so you're not using liner, you're not using a hard surface, and there's something about that gives you a beautiful texture.
You were talking before about the creating chaos and with the abstract, it's quite hard to get to it. Is your headspace a very important part at that time?
It's utterly important, and how, like, I tend to work quickly so that as a young artist. So the unconscious mind or something else can have more control than my thinking mind. When I slow down, I start to overthink it. If you work quickly, then things happen on their own. But then, of course, you absolutely have to evaluate it and look at it very carefully and with a very critical mind. But the major work has to be done loosely, and then the critical mind comes in.
You've got to step in and out.
Yeah, step in and out. So that's what I'm learning, and it's the extent of your sensibility that makes the painting. It's like you're having a conversation with yourself, with the different parts of yourself, which has fascinated me, which I didn't understand. The painting is only as good as the richness of your mind is.
And do you have to be? Do you prepare yourself before you go to paint, or you just stop whatever you're doing and just go and paint, or do you need like a process to get into it?
Oh, that's interesting. I go down to the studio, possibly put on music. Sometimes it can get distracting, and then put myself in a very open, childlike, free state. And I think you always have to start like that. And the teachers I follow, you just make a big mess. In a way, and then you start to work with that. And one artist that I'm following said, you know, every day he goes down, and his whole job is to fix mistakes. You're always looking at things that don't work. This isn't working. You know, I really like this. I don't like that. This isn't working. What do I do? So you're solving problems.
You're editing.
Yeah, you're solving problems.
Okay,
solving problems.
Because that sounds like writing. The process of writing.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, and which is something else you actually do.
Yeah. Yes, it's the same process. It's more fun painting because you can... writing a book, no one sees it till right at the end. You know, painting, you're at least seeing it. It's visual.
Yeah. So you're referring to yourself as a young artist, but you kind of have also a whole lifetime of other things that you've done before you got to art.
Yeah.
Why did art happen at a later in life rather than like at school or in the early adult years?
It's a curious thing, and I was reflecting on that, and I remembered I used to go into secondhand shops in my 30s and 40s and buy tunics and shirts for when I was going to be an artist.
Oh, really?
To protect my clothes, and it was sort of unconscious, but I always had something in my wardrobe that was like a painter's tunic, even though I wasn't painting. And then I'd been travelling many years, and I came to a crossroads, and I picked up painting classes and drawing and writing classes, and I realised I had to finish my writing before I could paint. And then later on, late 50s, my sister and I were talking. We'd both had our sort of careers, and we said, oh, in our next lifetimes, we're both going to be painters. It's been sitting there, and then I thought, well, why do I have to wait till a next lifetime? Why don't I just do it now?
Yeah, start today. Yeah.
But I had done classes, through my 20s and 30s, but there had never been the space to be totally serious, and I wanted to be totally serious. I didn't want to be a dilettante painter. I wanted, this is what I'm doing now, and just throw myself in.
What is the exact definition of dilettante?
Of a dilettante, where you're just you're sort of playing with it, I think. You're coming in and out, but you're not wholeheartedly, obsessively serious about it. And that's the way I like to do things, because it's the most interesting way to do things.
So what was the career that you had?
Well, many in a way, but the last one was I set up and ran a yoga teacher training program.
Okay.
So I was teaching all the meditation and all the anatomy and physiology, but I'd worked at Well Park College of Natural Therapies. I'd managed that for many years.
And where's that?
That was in Grey Lynn in Auckland. Okay, So nothing in my life was really was artistic, in the sense of writing and painting, and nothing in the family history. We were all sort of teachers and government workers. So I don't come from a family where that's been, part of my upbringing.
So what was your way into it then? Was that what the course was about?
So the course was my real way into it. I just fell into it. And the learning connection's incredible in the sense that you just play. You're just playing. The whole thing is about playing. And then I realised, I actually need some structure and technique as well. So they were, and that's the only way to start. And then it's like, okay, but I need to know how to evaluate what I'm doing. And that's where the online programs are really good. And I did courses at the Waikato Society of Arts.
Yeah.
But it's funny, they're totally focused on technique, but not the playing.
Okay.
So I had these two extremes of playing, which is so important, and then just this total focus on just the technique, which I value, but it's sort of empty in itself. So the courses I'm running are kind of like a blend of both of those.
I think we our culture is one that values that that technical analytical side of things quite a lot.
Yeah.
And most of us live in that for our jobs and things like that. But it's only half of of who we are. But it's when you're focused on that, it's quite hard to jump back into that play.
It is.
And it's even like I'm waving my hands around right now, folks. You can't see me, but in the attempt to describe play and whimsy and that's not the word I'm looking for at all. And getting into that kind of zone, like sports people talk about getting in the zone.
Yeah, you're in the zone, and the play is the creative juices. It's the juice of life. It's the it's the heart of our life. If we don't, I don't know, if there's not that sense of freedom and risk-taking and it's just the process, it's not the result, and you're in life in the moment. Like painting, you're in for the moment, not so much for the result. You know, that's the emphasis.
And do you find when you do successfully get into that zone that what you produce at the end is different to or way beyond what you thought you were going to do to start with?
Yeah, or it's a total mess. You know, they say, you know, if you're not making lots of failures, then you're not an artist. If you're not failing all the time, then you're not doing it right. You're not experimenting enough. You're not taking enough risks. You're not drawing enough new material up that, you know, to explore.
So and you can see you're quite big on that. Did it take you a while to accept that that's what it was going to be like?
I think I was really relieved. I think I go on about it because I'm relieved that that's the way it is, and that's the way we can approach life. Like the way we approach our art, for me, has become the way I approach my life. It's fine to take risks. It's fine to fail. It's fine to play. It's just the day. It's just the process. So that's all. Yeah, that's been really significant.
Tell us a little bit about the yoga and meditation, because then I want to tie it into the art, you see.
Okay.
So, how that's worked in your life.
Well, that's been the absolute core of my life. The spiritual journey is the absolute core. The trying to, where have I come from? Where am I going? What is the meaning? Is there something beyond this? I've done lots of long 3-month, 4-month, 2-month meditation retreats. It's really just the searching, trying to understand this being a human.
What do you do on a 3 or 4 month meditation retreat? I'm now visualizing you're sitting by yourself really, meditating for 3 months, but it's probably not like that.
Yeah, it is like
that. It is like that.
Yeah, you're meditating all day. Your mind becomes very quiet, very open. You start to see, you start to shape things in a different way. You start to see the nature of awareness, the nature of experience, that it's not you experience. So what is the nature of mind? You know, all those things that don't make any sense to a lot of people have just been huge, huge questions for me. What is this mind?
And as someone who's practiced meditation for a long time, are you quite adept at getting into that headspace?
That was easier. That was falling. I have a mind that focuses really well. People have different minds, and mine is a mind that focuses. So it can say, this is what I'm doing, and I'm just there. So in a meditation, your mind is open and focused. So you're boring down, but you're opening out. And you're sort of deconstructing experience and emotions and everything just to see what the core values or the core... It can sound a bit silly, you know, but for me, just
everyone's doing
so
it at the moment.
Everyone's doing it for sort of stress release, to relax, but meditation is basically to rest in your true nature. You know, what is our true nature?
Well, that sounds relaxing though, doesn't it?
It's extraordinarily relaxing, but it's a slightly different motive. And to unpack all our issues, you know, so we're not so reactive. So we see emotions for what they are and we're not caught in them. So there's that mindfulness, which is huge. So you're not so caught in your life. You have a bigger perspective and easier. So has that come into my art? It's funny, isn't it? And I wondered if I'd sort of jumped camps.
What do you mean, jump camps?
Well, you know, that's what my life was about, and here I am being an artist.
Yeah. You thought you'd leave everything behind.
Yeah, I think there has to be an integration there. And in my classes, hopefully there will be a little bit of that integration.
I would expect that your mind is less likely to be a runaway train like a lot of people talk about. And that's going to help you get into that, into the right mindset for doing art.
Yeah, yeah, because you've trained your mind to be focused and open, you know, so it's allowing things to happen. And of course, you have all the stories of being no good and stuff like that, which all artists do, but you can see them and carry them lightly.
Right. So that's just a story.
That's just a story, and we all, there'll be 2 million people in the world today that have that story going who are artists.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, so there, those sorts of spiritual teachings, that is just so crucial. Whenever something terrible comes up, you say there's 2 million people in the world feeling just like this today. And then somehow, okay, so this is part of being human. Oh, great, I know what it is to be human. So that's all useful in painting. Yeah.
And you do, like I've seen on our What's On guide or various things that you're doing Somatic.
Yeah, so I teach
something
somatic.
Or other. I don't know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's just very slow movement to repattern the body.
Yeah, okay.
Which is huge for me.
So obviously you still do this. That side of your life is still very much part of it.
Yeah.
And I mentioned before that my mother had done some art through her life, and there was one point where she was like, okay, I'm going to give up the job and I'm just going to focus on art. And then she discovered after a while that's actually not what she wanted out of her life, just to be doing art the whole time. And I don't know, does that kind of apply to you as well? Like, you still want those other things?
For me, I've got my 3 kids in Raglan with 9 grandkids, so that's a huge part of my
life. Right. Yeah.
Hugely valuable. There's a community. I've never lived in a community. There's the community of Raglan, which for me is extraordinary, the people that I know. And that's all hugely valuable. Raglan is an extraordinary place, having, you know, come here. I've been here, I don't know, 5 years.
I'm interested in the you're talking about the sense of community, because most of my adult life, like when I got married and bought a house for the first time, all that started in Raglan. And this is the first time as an adult, this is the only community I know. So I don't know if other communities feel like this one. I feel like this one's a bit different, but I'm pretty sure you don't get that same sense of community in a big city. I don't know if other small towns have it or not, but maybe you can comment on that.
Yeah,
so I'm kind of curious about that now.
Yeah, I was in a small town at O'Reary Point where I still have a batch, and there's a little community, but, you know, not really. The only community I've been part of was Well Park College, where I worked, because you work as often where there were like-minded people.
Yes,
And I've lived in other places, and no, Raglan absolutely stands out. There are people engaged in everything that you're interested in a really strong, authentic, doesn't have the city thing to it.
No.
People here just are so real and straight. I don't know.
And is it conducive to art being here?
Totally, because there's an art community. I'm part of Raglan Art. The people I know the best are the people in Raglan Art, which is my art community. And we meet regularly and have art critique evenings and have exhibitions, and everyone's working and supporting each other, and that's absolutely incredible. There's no sense of us being artists on our own struggling.
Yeah.
You know, and they come and see my work and encourage me. You know, I get encouragement. I'm a young artist.
And do you think you evolve quicker as an artist in community?
Yeah, and I notice that we have art critique evenings where people show their work, and I know every time I come away from one of those evenings, there's something about something someone's done that I want to go and try and explore and get prompted to further. Yeah, so I think that we all push each other along.
And do you sometimes, actually this is an interesting thing, do you sometimes copy as an artist? Like you want to be original, but sometimes do you copy before you be original?
Apparently David Bowie said he wasn't interested in listening to any music he couldn't steal from. Bad artists copy, good artists steal.
Yeah, what does that mean exactly?
That means you see something that's really exciting in someone else's work and you want to have a go at it in your own work. So you're not copying their work, you're just like, this is an amazing idea, I want to see what I can do.
Yeah,
and I do that, and we're encouraged to, you know, Louise Fletcher encourages you to do that. So find an artist you love, and what is it about their work that you love, and then do it. So you're stealing. You have to steal. Nothing's, and I think Picasso said the same thing too. Good artists steal.
You can't build on a
nothing
on top of nothing. Yeah, no, yeah. No, we're not like that. Yeah.
And you're not trying to copy. You're trying to take the essence of you know, the marks they make or the shapes they make or the feeling they have. And, okay, I love that. Can I copy? Not copy. Can I steal that? Can I do that?
Yeah.
So that's really a really important part of being an artist.
And what about the landscape here? Does that make a difference to the art, do you think?
Well, I just... landscape is everything to me. I just live in... I've just come back from walking the timber trail, and I'm just on a high because of being in that environment all the time.
Right.
The environment is absolutely huge. And yet I've never painted Raglan, and I keep saying, oh, my next project has to be to paint some abstract landscapes of Raglan. But I can see that I somehow won't be that direct about it.
Well, you can't direct the muse that much, can you?
No, you can't. You can't. Yeah. And I keep saying it, and yet nothing pushes me. It pushes me in a different direction. So
folks, we're talking to Deanna Wells, who's one of the artists at the Raglan Arts Weekend. Are you? Have you got a studio at home, or are you at the old school? Or?
Yeah, no, I have a studio at home.
And you're all ready to open up to the public? You know how many people are going to be turning up?
I don't know.
I actually had the experience... My kids, when they were younger, were on the counter at the old school. Sometimes they'd have a market at the old school during the arts weekend, so they'd get my kids or someone else's kids just sit there and count with a little counting machine. That's what my hand's doing. And like 1,000 people would come through the old school on a day.
So we'll see. I hope a few come through. It's funny. I mean, you're painting because you love painting, but it is an important part of the process. You are painting for someone to look at your painting and enjoy it.
Is that putting it up for judgment almost? Is that difficult?
No, because it doesn't... Is that difficult? It was difficult right at the beginning, but then you realise it's just an ego reaction, so you don't count it. You just, this is what I've done. If you like, you know, it's not a big deal.
I think so... I think probably in the back of my mind there was that people who do things that end up on the internet where there's a comment section, and then you're subjected to all sorts of stuff there. But you shouldn't read it, but I think with what you do mostly, the people who speak up are going to be the people who like it.
Yeah, it's good to have critical feedback, but we are all more sensitive than we think. You know, we think we don't care, and we do care if people make negative comments to a certain extent, but we can carry that.
There's a difference between critical and abusive too.
Encouraging critical, you know, that might work better if you did. Have you thought of doing this? You know, that sort of thing. Positive, something that's constructive.
That would be weird though if someone turned up next weekend at your place and said,
they won't say
have you thought of doing it this way? It might be better.
No. Yeah. Well, they can just say which one. It's interesting to hear which one someone likes.
Yeah.
You know, that's curious. You've got a whole wall full of stuff. So which one stands out for you? That's really useful.
Yeah. And I found as another bystander in that situation, they're like, really? You like that one? But I like that one's much better.
And I'm curious about that because ones that I don't like of my own particularly, some people really, really love. And it's like I'm starting to realize how personal it is, you know, the paintings that we like or not.
And more with the promotional side of things, because we're talking off the air that the promotional side of things is the hard bit, and it's not why you do it. But just tell us about your husband Brian's. Is your husband partner?
No, his partner.
Partner's Brian's involvement in that.
He is just 100% support.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's important. He loves what I paint. Well, at least he says he does. he describes it to me really well, and that's useful. So you're getting some kind of reflective thing of someone talking about your art to you. And you can take it, you know, you can accept it or reject it, but it's very useful to have that because I'm only seeing it through my eyes. And he does all my promotion. So, artists need that. They need someone that's really supporting them. That's really behind them 100%.
We're all human. We all need that.
And
for people who want to see Brian's handiwork, the website, deannawells.com, and your name is spelled D-Y-A-N-A, then Wells with a double L.com.
He's just in the whole community doing websites for everyone.
I know. I bumped into him about the iHub website a few weeks ago. Yeah.
He's one of these totally community-minded people.
Yeah.
So here I'm doing my little art thing and running my little classes, and he's in the big, broader community, you know, just supporting everybody.
Yeah. Now, speaking of other things that you guys are that you're involved with, we wanted to talk about Laboratory.
Laboratory.
I thought I was going to say it right the first time.
Okay.
So we did talk to Elizabeth Dennis about this, but you give us an update, and people might not have heard that interview as well. So what's this about?
Yeah, so Laboratory, it's funny, when I came to Raglan and joined Raglan Art, the first thing I said was, what classes are there? I want to do some art classes, because this is an art community, and there weren't any art classes.
Right.
It was like, what? And so I sort of set up a life drawing thing, which, you know, was not tutored. But there's never really been art classes for adults. And now that I'm 6 years down the track, and I love teaching, it's like the best way to learn is to teach. That's what I've always found, yeah. You know, to see what students are doing. So I got very enthusiastic and spoke to a few people and said, why don't we set up an art school and run some art classes? There has to be a need for it. You know, this is an art community. So that's what we've done. So we have Laboratory, and it's kind of starting next week, the beginning of the term.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm running two classes. One is a printmaking class using jelly pads and lino prints and stuff like that. And one is painting, which is, you know, working with Louise Fletcher's material.
Okay.
Yeah, so they start next week. So there's still a couple of spaces if anyone wants to join.
Okay, and they are, like, what time of day are they?
So they're the evening, so they're 6 to 8, Monday and Thursday. So we're just trying to get that off the ground, and it takes a while to get things off the ground, and then I think we plan to have summer schools and things like that, and bring in, there's four of us at the moment, but to bring in more tutors next year.
Who are the other four? That.
So there's Stuart Shepherd.
Who does?
So he's doing tabletop sculpture and visual storytelling.
Okay.
And then there's Martin, and he's doing lecture. He is most interested, I think, in doing one-on-one with people. He makes his own materials like charcoals and paints and he's a total artist. He makes knives. He explores all sorts of different materials and mediums and would love, I think, to work one-on-one. He does forgery, you know, he works with a forge and metals and
Martin Ten Broek.
The what?
His last name's Martin Ten Broek.
Ten Broek, yeah.
Yeah, I hope we're getting it right there.
Yeah, yeah. So and he's keen to do some talks, so I think if anyone's keen on working with him, it would be to contact him in a way.
Yeah.
And then Elizabeth is running a children's art program, and we'll do more children's ones next year. We're sort of starting with a limited number of classes.
I count four in my head.
Yeah, and then we have Ashad, who now has gone to England. He was just going to be a tutor doing animation.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I know many people have just gone to England.
Do you?
Yeah, or just gone somewhere, or people have just come over here. It's the post-COVID thing.
Yeah,
the world's catching up with itself.
Yeah.
So how do people just get this website, isn't there, or a Facebook page?
But I guess you need to spell it right. So it's Laboratory. So it has the laboratory thing, it has the labour thing, it has the art thing. So that's why we chose that word. But it's Labor. Artry. Now, so that's a bit of a problem, possibly.
Laboratory.
So it's Laboratory.
Laboratory. .nz. Oh, Laboratory. That's why I get the emphasis
Laboratory,
right.
Laboratory.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's clever, but it's clever, but it might be hard to find.
Well,
we've website.
Now said it several times over, so it probably stick in people's
Laboratory.
Heads.
Laboratory. There's posters around town.
And what are so that's your art teaching, but you're teaching the other things as well, other parts of your life as well, aren't you?
Yes, I'm teaching somatics. That's on a Thursday morning.
So that's somatic meditation.
It's a somatic movement, which is really funny, and it's not really taken off. I've done yoga my whole life, and it's somatics, which is such gentle movement that has made my body more flexible and strong and everything than anything else I've ever done in my life.
Right.
And I was so evangelical about it because it's phenomenal what it does. It's training your body it's like a child in play. It's like you're playing with your body so your brain can wake up to how your body's moving. We all have somato amnesia. We don't know what our bodies are doing. We don't know how we're moving. And as we get older, we become more and more tense, and we have muscles fighting against each other when we move. And we think we're weak, but we're just tense.
Okay.
You know, if you've got two tight muscles and one's fighting another, if you're trying to walk, you feel really weak. But it's just that the muscles are tense.
Right.
So and the brain doesn't know that they're tense, so it doesn't know how to relax them. So it's really a way of learning how to relax so the muscles can work properly and freely and without pain.
And so this is done with a slow movement?
Just very slow movement with awareness, waking your brain up to what's going on in your body. It doesn't know. Very straightforward and just, anyway.
Well, folks, if that rings a little bell for you there about the state of your body, can they look... Where do they go? Please. To the DeannaWells.com?
Yes, so go to DeannaWells.com. And it's a class Friday, Thursday morning, 9:30 to 10:45.
And is that the only other class?
So that's the only class I run on it. It's like $15 casual class.
Okay, not Yoga Shala?
Yes, so that's at Yoga Shala.
Yoga Shala's the place.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Because I've been reading these notices out. I read out loads of notices when I pick things up. And I'm often like, I'm not sure I'm pronouncing things correctly, and all that. Well, folks, we've been talking to Deanna Wells, and the Raglan Arts Weekend is not this weekend. It's starting in a few hours, but in a week's time. And you're going to be one of about slightly less than 40 people. I know there's other artists around who are around anyway, so there'll be over 40 artists that people can visit. So thank you for being the first interview. Thank you for coming in at quite short notice too. Yeah. It was brilliant.
Thank you so much.
All right, and we'll see you again.
Yeah, wonderful. Thank you.
Okay, folks, that's the end of the show for the day and for the week. Don't forget about Whangaroa Talent Factory, the youth music event that's happening, youth music showcase happening here in the town hall tonight at 6 o'clock. It's Koha entry, and come along and support the young people in our community.